Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. If you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Sure. Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me. My name is Eric Carter. I reside in Dallas, Texas, originally a Midwest kid, though, at heart. And I am a serial entrepreneur, started Harder Manly, which is a custom clothing company, as well as PM Go, which is a virtual assistant agency essentially offshoring and BPO work.
Awesome. So in terms of your custom clothing company, let's just start with that. I'm curious, what gave you the idea for this business? And what does it look like today?
Yeah, so my background, actually, I've been in consulting since I graduated college. And at one of my consulting clients, I met an individual who liked what I was wearing, right? And started shooting me some ideas. Just a step back from that is I grew up in a family of entrepreneurs. So my father started a couple of companies. My mother also joined in on those companies, right? So it's always been innately there and of interest. But basically, hey, he liked my jacket. We went to dinner. He started shooting his spiel about, you know, what it was and what he was looking to do. And what we gained very quickly was we had extremely different capabilities and talents, right? So David is his name. He's still my current partner. And he was much more, I would say, marketing centric on the fashion side. At the time, he was a model, right? So his thought process was, well, you know, I'm wearing this stuff daily. Why not go out and make it, right? I can do better than what I'm wearing. Funny thing was, I have to wear this stuff daily from a consulting perspective. So my thought was a little bit different, but it was like, how do I make this cheaper, right? And how do I, you know, be a bit of a fashion forward, right? So as we're going through the process, as you can imagine, you start to wear a lot of different hats. So although that was our kind of talent skill level to start, we started to edge, I would say, into each other's space, because ultimately you got to be good at the whole breadth of work, right? You, like I said, you're wearing a lot of different hats.
Right. So I guess, like you mentioned, right, that your parents were entrepreneurs. So what exactly did they do? And you mentioned that you're from the Midwest, because of mine, I'm from Chicago. So I'm curious, where you're from and what your parents did before.
Yeah, so I'm from the Quad Cities, right on the border of Iowa and Illinois, just a couple hours west of Chicago. Funny enough, I actually lived in Chicago for about 6-7 years and then ended up moving down to Dallas. One, to expand the company, right? And two, just because there's a lot of banking and that's the type of consulting I do. And so my parents started a couple different companies. My dad has been doing taxes. So he's a tax company for 40 plus years, right? So he's been doing that basically since he graduated. He also had what was called budget consultants. So he'd help people, you know, budget their bills, much more financial, right, on that front. But he's dabbled in a couple of things along the way. And then my mother jumped in with him, right? So she was all on board of not having her own boss. So they joined forces and built several companies from scratch there in the Quad Cities.
Awesome. So in terms of the clothing brand, Harder Manly, so I'm curious, like, what does it look like today? Is it mostly like a retail play, e-commerce, you know, service industry? What does that look like?
Yeah, great question. So in the traditional sense, when we were starting in that 2015 timeframe, the industry was much more along the very appointment centric. Like, I'm going to go grab a scotch with you, right? We're going to sit down for an hour or two and we're going to build this thing from scratch. Times have changed. And I think COVID even made that on steroids, right? So the beauty of that is my background, my skill set is digitization. For the most part, I've ran digital at several large banks over the years. So my thought process just inherently is, how do I make this as easy as possible for the customer where they're in and out, right? Which is very different than where we started, right? Like you're sitting down, you're there for the experience. So what we've done over the last, several years is, well, how do we digitize that experience, right? And how do we still make it feel like, it's user-friendly, enjoyable, like, part of the design process, make people feel like they're almost artists, if you will, while doing a lot of that online, right? And so over the last couple of years, we've built out augmented reality. So you can jump on our website and build a shoe from scratch and see it update real time. That includes, we actually have over 1 million APIs that do this. So there's a ton of different options and optionality. And so, I mean, down to like if you want to put your initials or a nickname or something like that in the sole of the shoe, right? So we built that out. And then we've also, we're like, okay, well, that was cool from like a leather goods perspective, but what do we do from a suiting perspective? Because that's, same type concept, right? But so we've partnered with a development company in Europe and actually built out a tool where I can take two pictures on a smartphone front and side, and I have 70 plus measurements done on the millimeter, right? And so again, really, really good advantage from a digitization perspective, not needing to be geographically constrained. And what that also did was really blew up our wedding business. So everybody is all around the country, typically from a groomsman perspective, and we were able to handle all of them, right? Regardless of where they were located. And then actually what we're currently working on is, was how do I do kind of the augmented reality for the suiting side as well? So I can design it all online. I will say, interesting enough, all of our appointments, I would say all of our appointments, a majority of our appointments are online now, right? People find us through the web. We do social media, we do some paid ads, things like that. But they do see kind of our online presence to the point that we never had to start a brick and mortar location, right? We've never done that path. Not to say that we won't. I think, as we continue to grow and scale and whatnot, we will entertain that side as well. But our focus over the last several years is how do I digitize this thing, right? How do I make it as easy as possible? And that has really been our differential.
So, do you leverage your BPO agency to take the appointments, or what does that look like?
That's exactly right. So funny enough is we were thinking through operationally, how do we get a little bit more sound, a little bit more cost effective? So ended up hiring several virtual assistants that were actually originally from the United States, but they reside in the Philippines, right? Which is a little bit more cost conscious market. So I actually have actuary majors that went to, US colleges that are, say, starting a dive camp in the Philippines, and that's their passion project, but they, why not use their skill set? And ultimately started to hire that up to run some of my, back-end operations, whether it be just like tweaking the website or submitting orders or QAing the orders, right? And some of my best talent actually still resides in the Philippines. And what I, noticed was most of my friends and or people I meet that have also started companies need a lot of the same things that I need, right? Because as you're going through the process of, entrepreneurship and trying to start that path, the best thing you can do is figure out what are the things you don't need to do and outsource that, whether it be onshore or offshore. It doesn't matter, right? You need to take that off your plate so you can focus on what matters and actually growing the business versus just working in the business, right? And so as I started to see kind of that need, I was like, hey, I can probably sell this to some extent. It's very much virtual assistant though, right? So when I say is it's it is more of those back office type of things. It's the website, it's doing accounting, it's SEO work, right? So we've seen some good progress on that front, but you nailed it, right? I need it. I had a need. I fulfilled the need. I realized probably everybody else that's starting a company has the exact same need, right? And so as people come to me, I help find, that talent for them overseas and help them also build their company along the way.
But in most people that come to your website, are they booking appointments or are they just looking and trying to buy it themselves, looking without an appointment? Like, what does the flow typically look like?
I would say it's more appointment centric, right? So when people still have the tendency to want to have that type of experience when they're going to buy a suit, especially if it's custom, it's made for you. So what we see is I think people get a lot of really good ideas, whether it be from our social media or our website, But generally speaking, you're not buying a $1,000 suit, from a website, right? A little bit different from our shoes. It's more common for people to just purchase it online. But yes, you're correct. So basically, people go to our website, they will book an appointment. They'll jump on with one of our stylists for, 45 minutes or so. I mean, we've cranked them out much more quicker than we used to, right? But it's because I can visually show you as we go through the process exactly what you're getting, right? Hey, here's the color of your fabric. Here's your button, right? Here's how we change the color of the stitch. Here's how the design switches. Here's what a design will do for your body type, right? So we'll walk them through every piece of the puzzle as if we're sitting down having that scotch, but it's all virtual today and it's much more quick and efficient. And I can kick them out a recap of, hey, here's what we selected. Think on it a day, right? Like, so if we're doing a wedding and you're putting your monogram on the jacket and you're like, I don't know if I want to put like my first initial and last name, or if I want to put like maybe my wedding date, right? Or something different, or my nickname, right? Think on it, right? So basically, they'll take it back, they think on it, they saw the full process, and we can turn those around probably the next day and put them in production, right?
Right. So is most of your business seasonal, like, for weddings, or is it pretty consistent all year round?
It's consistent, but it's consistent for different reasons. Okay. So you're during kind of the what I say is wedding season starts roughly around spring if you're planning ahead. Most groups are not particularly good at planning ahead. So they come with a panic, right? But assuming all things go well, we kind of see that uptake around that February, March timeframe. And it goes all the way through August, right? Now we'll have some winter, New Year's Eve type weddings from that front. But what we do see from a more consistent perspective is just people needing things for events, right? Or for work, or kind of the traditional sense of what we saw. So I do see an uptick roughly around that spring summer time period, but it's consistent all the way through. And then we do we're actually LLC'd out of Minnesota, so a lot of our client base as in Minnesota or the colder environments, because I was up in Chicago. So we sell a lot of custom wool jackets too. So, like I said, it just changes the product set that we're selling, but it's pretty consistent throughout the year.
Hey y'all, it's Dan Melnick, the CEO of Zing, and I wanted to share a special offer for all of our listeners. Right now, if you need software development services, we'll give you 2 weeks of a free trial. Do you need to update your website? You want to build a mobile app? Do you want to update something that you've been working on for a long time? We've worked in a high-level technologies like AI, machine learning, blockchain. So shoot me a text, 817-874-2208. Thank you.
What would you say is like the biggest challenge that you currently face in the business?
So we took a very non-traditional path, right? So a lot of companies try to get an idea, bring a little bit to fruition, and then go get funding. We took the exact opposite approach of we did this because we didn't want to work for people, right? And the second I go get funding, now I work for, that's
Right.
just the reality of the situation. Our thought was, let's go build this thing. Right. So when I say build it, build operationally sound, technically sound, our infrastructure is top end, right? And then we'll go scale it. So currently, my challenge is from a scale, from a sales perspective, right?
Right.
So, I'll have people using things like LinkedIn lead generation, and they'll set up those, virtual appointments. But I'm also starting to hire up kind of outside sales folks because we don't have that brick and mortar. Like I said, we
Right.
might change that mindset and pick a couple of specific locations to start that here in the next couple of years. But right now we're working through that, right? So my current challenge is I'm trying to scale my sales force because everything from an essence of like whether it be training or the back end operations or the tech, all of that's done, right?
Right.
It's solid, it's good, it's all automated, right?
For sure. But for an outside Salesforce, I guess your vision to have them go to conferences, or how do you expect them to kind of, as you know, it's like attack that channel?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, because actually what I just got off the phone with our president of sales on. So what we've seen success in is a couple different things, right? I think you have to think well beyond just DTC or direct to consumer. You got to think almost B2B to some extent,
Right.
right? So what I mean by that is, our sales staff, they'll go out to country clubs, right? They'll go sell them X amount of shoes at wholesale. They'll offer up building a green jacket, right, for their kind of member guest or their championship, men's championship or whatnot. So getting in on that front, but we do, we'll go out to hotels, we'll go out to large apartment complex that are on the higher end. There's some of those subscription-based bars, barber shops now that are high end that you go get that Scotch, kind of that original feel, right? So we're starting to partner with those type of companies in addition to like wedding boutiques. And so we're actually taking a little bit of a B2B approach of let's cast our wings super wide. And over time, we're going to see this thing explode. Right. And so we basically building more partnership levels. And then obviously, happy hours, things like that from more direct consumer perspective. The LinkedIn lead generation is great. Right. But to us, it's a little bit thinking both mindset wise, right? Almost like scale it to have other people sell for on your behalf is the mentality we're taking.
For sure. And you also mentioned that you have a lot of different technology like AR, things like that. So do you guys currently use AI? And if not, where do you think they can come in and add value?
Yeah, so technically, we're using AI on the measurement front. Okay, so it will take a 3D rendering, leveraging AI, leveraging a lot of historical data that we've had, because AI, especially in generative AI, is based on just massive databases, right, of old data. And so over the last several years, we've been feeding, I would say, the machine of all of the inputs that we had from folks so that we can see subtle nuances, whether it's like I lean forward, right? Or I have a different angle of my back. And so what it spits me out is truly a 3D rendering of your body type as well as the measurements. So I can submit that to our manufacturers and we can have that live and I can tweak it, see a bunch of different angles. So it's much more accurate and we continue to feed that, right? So if I see, we don't see a lot of issues anymore, but if I see an occasional issue and it's a nuance, like I had an NBA player who had an arm that was 3 inches longer than his other arm, right? That throws some things off, right? So, we continue to throw kind of those nuances, edge cases, if you will, at the tool and see how it handles it. So yes, that is an AI-based tool.
What about AI for like customer service or for your appointments? Do you think like it'll ever get to that level?
Yeah, I mean, from an omni-channel perspective, I think there's value of using AI, right? We've looked into that. I think it's more prevalent now that we're kind of building up our sales staff. But prior to that, it wasn't super necessary because it was much more appointment based, right? But yeah, I do think we're gonna, we will look into how do we use chat, how do we build out the Omni so it's a seamless experience, whether you're hitting me up through a phone call, hitting me up through chat, text, email, right? I should be able to see where my customer is in the life cycle, as well as all past communications that I've used to date. And AI does a really good job, right? Or at least it's a piece of the pie to be able to do that.
For sure. So, what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this business?
I think it's hard, but you don't know it's that hard, right? So as you're going through the ebbs and flows of entrepreneurship, you have to have someone or someones by your side that are almost a little bit impractical. Okay. I'm a realist, right? I am very efficient, drive, my background's in consulting, right? So like I'm thinking numbers, I'm thinking, path forward. You have to have someone that's a little bit, let's just go do it, right? We'll figure it out kind of mindset, as well as someone, again, just overly optimistic that we're going to get through it or we'll find a way, right? I don't think people know just how hard is, you know what I mean? Like I solve a lot of really difficult, hard, most complex projects at these large, multi-billion dollar banks all the time. Those are really hard, but this is a different hard, right? And so it's almost more of like a mental hard, right? Just don't give up. Keep going. I think you until, to be honest, I know you asked me, what do I wish I knew before? It's almost like you have to go through it though to know, right? So I think that's piece of it. I knew I'd be wearing a lot of hats. I didn't know how many hats, right? Like one day you're a lawyer. One day you're playing HR, right? That's been great, honestly, for my consulting career as well, because I can think outside of my, what was a narrow box pretty easily, right?
For sure. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for Harder Manly?
Yeah, I mean, we're all in on scaling our sales staff, right? So we hired a president of sales. They moved from New York to Minneapolis in the last couple months with the intent to then hire up a few folks around them and then to start building out that in specific metropolitan markets, right? So like I said, we're pretty consistent, have it pretty locked in from a ops tech perspective. Now it's just scaling. Let's get it going. Let's put it, let's dump some gasoline on the fire and let it go. That'd be one goal. The other goal is I've actually been much more passive in the company over the last 6 months, and I'd like to continue going that route because now I have two kiddos, right? I have multiple priorities that are going on. So my goal is to basically put people in my shoes. Or in multiple pairs of shoes, because like I said, I wore, wear a lot of hats and take a step back and play more of an advisory kind of board level role. My partner is also doing the same thing, right? So he's, like I said, more on the marketing front. He's hired a creative director that's really taken the bull by the horns and doing some great stuff. We actually just went through a rebrand, and we're starting to, think through that content plan, things like that. So you'll see us take a little bit of a step back. I think that's always easier said than done, especially when you're working with people and scaling and things like that. I think we'll have our toe in the water, if you will, for probably the next year or two, but hopefully get it to a point where it's, a couple hours a week and we are much more board advisory based at that time.
For sure. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out, do you mind sharing your website or social media? I guess best ways to get in contact.
Yeah. So hartermanly.com, HARTTERMANLY, right? .com. On there, you're going to see all of our contact information. If you want to book an appointment, you can do it on there. Hi@hartermanly.com is our email box. If you have any inquiries for the larger team, right? That's where you're going to get it goes to my full team so we can ultimately answer any type of question that you may have. So those are probably the best ways to get a hold of us. And then from there, we'll direct you in the right direction of, where who to talk to next.
Awesome. Well, Eric, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate you having me on.